You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. You're listening to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for subscribing on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, or in Himalaya. My name is David Ramil. It's been 133 days, almost 4 months, and basketball is finally back, sort of. The Miami Heat took on the Sacramento Kings in the fourth of four scrimmages that took place on Wednesday night. Enough for a Miami victory, 104-98 over an undermanned Kings team. Of course, the Heat were without some key players, but that doesn't matter. It's basketball, kind of, sort of. Can't really wrap my mind around it. It's not really a game, but it was competitive. It was interesting to see the team back out there after such a long hiatus. Everybody was feeling very, very good about the production, about everything that happened on the floor. And, of course, it resulted in another Heat victory. The Kings were somewhat undermanned without De'Aaron Fox, without Marvin Bagley. Of course, the Heat were somewhat undermanned themselves without Bam Adebayo and Kendrick Nunn. Didn't really matter. It was enough to kind of get a good feel for where Miami's at. And everybody, again, was very, very impressed with basketball being back for the first time in 4 months. It was an exciting prospect just to see this, the first example of what basketball would potentially look like in the Orlando bubble. And I think it looked pretty good. I'll be honest with you. Watching the game, or the scrimmage rather, on Fox Sports, with Eric Reed and John Crotty broadcasting straight from the American Airlines Arena as they were watching the scrimmage take place, similarly as we were watching it from our homes, it felt very much like a real game. Obviously, no crowds there, very limited media within the bubble, and the participants themselves were out in the court. It looked like a very professional affair, to be 100% honest with you. Now, if you didn't see the scrimmage, it's interesting how it all played out. I'll get into the setup a little bit about it before I talk into some of the key points and takeaways from the shortened season or the restart of the NBA season. The court was a good setup. It was technically a home game, quote-unquote home game for Miami. They had some of their audio from Mike Biamonte brought in, and they had some video display boards with Heat fans wearing Heat t-shirts and kind of cheering on the Heat. I guess this was footage that had been pre-recorded and was broadcast on these large video boards that were along the sidelines of the game. The players themselves were socially distanced while they were sitting down along the sidelines, about 6 feet of space between seats. Coaches were supposed to wear masks, but I guess that's been scrapped because they weren't wearing masks again. There haven't been any zero positive tests recently in the Orlando bubble, so I think they've gone ahead and removed that because it was uncomfortable or they weren't able to express themselves or communicate to players, so I guess that's been changed. But it was just interesting to see how it all played out. No cameras along the baseline there, so there was a lot of space, a lot more space than you typically would, but it looked like basketball. And as far as the game itself, I was expecting a lot more choppy play. It looked pretty sharp. It was, you know, there were some moments there where you could tell the guys were rusty, but overall the conditioning level was pretty good. I thought there would be a lot more winded players or a lot more, you know, just guys that didn't look quite comfortable. You know, it didn't even feel like a preseason game. It felt a little bit more like the first season of the game, or the first game of the season, to be honest with you, where, you know, they've gone through training camp, they've been able to kind of work out some kinks, and at the same time, it's not at 100%, it's not as fluid as you expect it to be, but it was a pretty good product overall. As far as the production is concerned, I think that's worth noting that everybody really said that it was quite favorable, but I'll let Eric Spoelstra talk about that. Here's a quote from his post-game press conference.
I just think that the production of this is really impressive. Somebody had mentioned earlier that this was like a small college game. You know, this was earlier in the week. I don't know what small colleges people played at, but this is nothing like that. The production is spectacular. It felt like an event as much as you possibly could make it feel under the circumstances. But again, the most important thing is when the guys get out there in between the four lines, it's competition, it's hoops, and that's what everybody wants right now.
So there you have it. Spoelstra, pretty impressed with the way it looked. Again, it had the feel of a regular season game. Jimmy Butler concurred, and this is what he had to say about what it felt like to be out on the floor again.
Like basketball to me, to us, competing at his finest. It was just great to go up against somebody else that wasn't wearing a Heat jersey, a Heat uniform. I think we're excited to continually get better, take this thing one day at a time. And when the next opponent is placed in front of us, hopefully we get a dub too.
Consistently, everybody seemed to appreciate what the NBA has been able to produce here. It seemed like it was a very slick, well-done production of basketball. It seemed seamless, even with Crotty and Reed broadcasting from the American Airlines Arena. It didn't seem like they were miles and miles away. They were able to talk about the action pretty well. The timing seemed pretty, pretty well coordinated. I didn't really see any kind of major lapses in production there. Even had Jason Jackson mentioning things as he often does from the sidelines or at the American Airlines Arena. So that was a nice part of the production there. And again, that piped in noise kind of added a dimension to that. While the players themselves didn't focus on what was happening outside of the court, they were mostly just interested in playing and getting back out on the floor again. It did seem like a really well done production, and you have to appreciate the fact that just basketball is back. It's unbelievable to think that we've gotten to this point here. I didn't think it was going to happen for a number of reasons. Even as we started to hear more and more noise about the bubble becoming a finality, it just didn't seem like it was likely to be pulled off. Who knew what it was going to look like? But over the course of Wednesday, we saw four different scrimmages take place, and all of them seemed to have little elements here and there where it was really well done. That's the biggest takeaway from today. And the big story of all day, and the scrimmage in particular, is that basketball is back, and the Heat looked really, really sharp for most of it. They did have their problems. It wasn't a full roster complement, obviously, because Adebayo and Nunn were out, and Jimmy Butler and Goran Dragic both only played the first half of the scrimmage, but either way, they looked good for most of it. Everybody really seemed engaged. There was fluid athleticism there. They didn't look like they were missing anything, really. And that's without Adebayo and Nunn. So overall, I'd have to score it an A+. It really was impressive to see the team back out there. It just felt good to kind of just see this team play. There were hiccups along the way. There were some lineups that didn't quite seem to work. Tyler Hero in particular struggled a little bit. I'll talk about that in the next segment. But as far as the second story, the little story of the game, and this is the format that I'll be probably utilizing for most of the restart where I talk about games. I'll talk about a big story, basketball being back. The little story is Duncan Robinson, where he just seems to be as much on fire as he ever has been. He was phenomenal. In 20 minutes of play, he wound up scoring 18 points, including 5 of 8 on all shots coming from the three-point range. He also made 3 free throws when he got fouled in a three-point attempt. And just looked really, really sharp. He was Miami's first scorer, knocked down 2 straight three-pointers to help create a cushion there. Miami looked really, really good. Going through Duncan, he had plenty of space, and even when he didn't have much space, he was able to get that shot off, and it still looked fluid. He mentioned earlier this week that shooters don't forget how to shoot, and he certainly did not, because he looked just as good as ever, if not even better. He just really, really looked very, very good, and Spoelstra talked about that in his press conference as well afterwards, that he was just commending Duncan's performance, that he just was not sure what to expect from him, but that he certainly was impressed and encouraged by the signs that he saw. It was just a really, really good performance from Duncan, who continues to be Miami's biggest X factor, at least in my opinion, moving forward. I just see that is going to be the deciding factor as to whether or not Miami continues to win games. It's one thing to be able to beat up a Sacramento Kings that's missing 2 of their best players and is probably one of the worst teams in the Orlando bubble. They are not in the playoff picture as of yet. They're competing for a spot along with some other Western Conference teams. You can count in the Brooklyn Nets that looked really shaky during Wednesday's scrimmage, and of course the Washington Wizards that don't really quote-unquote belong there. They are not expected to be an actual playoff contending team, but regardless of that, Duncan's performance was phenomenal. He was absolutely the star in Miami's roster. He was the team's best player. I think you can make an argument for some others, and I'll talk about some of those players in my next segment. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Just a reminder, listen, subscribe, and leave a review whenever possible on your favorite app to listen to podcasts, and that you always get the latest episode by asking your smart device to play Locked On Heat when you get in your car to get your team every day. Some more of those takeaways that I talked about in the first segment from today's game. Andre Iguodala, I have to be honest, I wasn't sure what to expect of a 36-year-old Andre Iguodala that might not have as much at stake as far as his individual legacy is concerned, but players have all been raving about his veteran leadership and his commitment to fitness, that he's been one of the most competitive players out there after a long time of not playing basketball prior to joining Miami after the trade deadline, and of course with a four-month hiatus, it was kind of hard to predict where Iguodala would be, but he was very, very solid overall. He did play 20 minutes coming off the bench, 11 points, 3 of 6 shooting overall, including 2 of 5 from the three-point line, including one corner three-pointer that continues to be, I think, where he can be very effective. If he's part of that drive and kick game and he's able to capitalize on that open three-point corner, I think he can be very dangerous as a weapon offensively. And he also did some really nice things that didn't really show up. He was a good defender. He was able to switch onto a number of players there. He intercepted a couple passing lanes there. Finished with 6 rebounds and assist. He did have 4 turnovers, again, to be expected. I'm sorry, that was actually Tyler Hero who finished with 4 turnovers. Andre only had 2 turnovers. But overall, just a really solid game from him. And I think he just wound up being a very significant factor. I wasn't sure what to expect from Iguodala, and he was impressive. So a good game from him. Tyler Hero, conversely, did struggle a little bit. He was playing a lot of minutes today, I think, just to kind of get him back into the action because he's young, because he can bounce back, because he had 100% health. We weren't sure how far along he was in his recovery prior to the start of this restart of the season, but he did look good out there for as far as his overall ball handling and athleticism. He did play 26 minutes, finished with 15 points, but a 5 of 14 shooting. The shot did not look very solid. He might have been rushing, might have been a little nervous, but he was, I think, expected to carry the load offensively, especially with Goran out. There were some lineups there, particularly when he was out there with Iguodala, Crowder, Kelly Olynyk, and Solomon Hill. Not my best lineup, not my favorite lineup, because there's no shot creator on there other than Tyler. You can give some ball handling to Iguodala and Olynyk, but for the most part, you're not going to get anybody really creating off the dribble other than Tyler Hero. And so that was a lot of expectation for him to be that kind of fulcrum for the offense. And he had some good moments, not some great ones. But, you know, what to expect. 0 of 7 from three-point range. So, again, the shot wasn't there. But overall, I think, you know, a bad game, but a good taste of him of, you know, kind of struggling a little bit. And I think he'll bounce back from this. From what we've seen from Tyler, I think you can expect him to really just bounce back and have a big performance at some point. He's going to be necessary for Miami to thrive because he's such a potent force off the bench. At least we saw that in earlier in the season. After the trade deadline, obviously he was hurt for most of that time, but I wonder whether or not he's going to be one of those guys out in the closing lineups as a clutch performer, because he does seem to want the ball in his hands. He does have a knack for knocking down big shots in those clutch situations, so you wonder whether or not he's going to be able to bounce back 100% as far as his confidence is concerned, and whether or not he's able to continue to produce during these clutch moments in games, which you know there will be. The third takeaway from tonight's game, or scrimmage, Jimmy Butler. Really good game from him as well. He finished with 11 minutes of play, 9 points overall, 2 of 4 from the field. Just doesn't seem very... He wasn't forcing it, and that's what we expect from Jimmy. I don't know. I won't go so far as to say that the jump shot's back, because he didn't really take a lot of shots, but he did look healthy. He did look like he had some spring in his step. He wasn't beat up. He was 5 of 5 from the line, so he still was able to get to the line just as well as he had all season long. Finished with 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. Not a bad game for him. Just 1 turnover earlier on. But again, overall, I think he was Miami's probably most solid player other than Duncan. And maybe you can make a case for Iguodala. Just a real good showing from him. Goran Dragic also played a very, very good game, I should mention. He did finish with 11 points in 11 minutes. 4 of 6 shooting, including 2 of 4 from 3-point range. So a really, really nice game from him. And, I debated whether or not I should do these kind of recaps, but I think that most of you really want to hear my thoughts on the game and what's happening as far as the overall picture, as far as Miami's restart is concerned. And I, you know, I was not expecting a really solid performance, but I liked what I saw most of all from Miami. I think they're on the right path. It was overall solid. There were still some shaky moments. There were still some defensive issues there, particularly when that bad lineup was out that day. We're able to allow Sacramento to close a double-digit lead there. That's a concern, you know, but when you're playing without a guy like Adebayo, who does as much as he does and is such a key figure defensively, it's to be expected that there'll be lapses. Spoelstra will have to adjust how he rotates these players, how he kind of incorporates them. The rotation is going to go through yet another evolution at some point, whether it's during the scrimmages or not. I'm not sure. Spoelstra kind of talked about a timeline for the return of Bam and Kendrick, and he was not sure because, you know, he wants to get their fitness level up. They've all been working hard. Everybody mentioned that. Both Jimmy and Spo mentioned that, you know, they've both been doing as much work as possible. They've been doing some bike work. They've been doing everything possible to stay in shape. But that's not the same thing as getting that kind of training camp that the other players did. So once they're cleared from quarantine, which they are in the Orlando bubble, they have all been tested negatively. And right now they're just still in quarantine. They'll have to pass another test. And then once that happens, they'll be released from their quarantine and able to join the team and continue to practice regularly. So hopefully we'll see some minutes from them in the next scrimmage, which is taking place Saturday afternoon. That'll be interesting to see whether or not they get back out there. But overall, again, just impressive performance. There's nothing else to say about it. It was a scrimmage. Maybe not the kind of final product as far as this team is concerned that we want to see, but a very good indicator that they're further along than a lot of people expected, myself included. And given all the different things that have happened over the last 4 months, the fact that they were undermanned without Adebayo and Nunn, I think you could really say that Miami looks to be very, very sharp. Now, there were some other teams like the Denver Nuggets that looked particularly sharp, but this is a lot like Summer League in the sense that even though you have your full complement of players, you have a pretty deep roster with a good veteran cast, this isn't like you're just trotting out rookies or guys fighting for a roster spot. You're experimenting, and that's what I think is another takeaway from this, is that Spoelstra is just trying to mix and match, see what works, see what doesn't, and part of that is even putting that pressure on Hero to produce as the lead ball handler, and he can handle that role. I think Jimmy was very confident that Tyler is going to be able to handle that as a ball handler, be able to continue to create shots for himself and others. Obviously, I've spoken very highly of Hero's ball handling ability and shot creation, and I think that's the next step for him, is to be much more consistent as that regard, because he is a guard that can initiate offense for others. That is without a doubt. Like, you recognize him most, and I think a lot of fans see him mostly as the guy who knocks down that big shot. But that next step for him is to be a much more consistent shot creator for others as the fulcrum of the offense. And I think that's what we'll start to see more of over the next few weeks. And hopefully he'll just get a little bit more consistent and comfortable in that role. Now, they did have their full complement of players. Of the 17 players that are on the roster, of course, Adebayo, none did not play. But there was somebody else that didn't play, and I'll talk about that in the next segment. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Just a reminder that you can always reach me via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or on Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat. 17 players available on Miami's roster. 15 of them were suited up and ready to play, but only 14 of them played. Well, 13 if you don't count Udonis Haslam, and I forget about that Udonis did not play tonight. But so there was one other player that a lot of fans, I think, were expecting and hoping to see, and that was KZ Okpala. He did not get any playing time whatsoever. Solomon Hill did. Hill had some moments there. He played 16 minutes, finished with 3 points, including a three-pointer, 1-4 from the field, all from beyond the arc. Chris Silva played. Gabe Vincent played. Kyle Alexander did not play either. But KZ Okpala, I was a little surprised. I think a lot of people had heard that Okpala was in great shape, that he'd be a consistent player, that he'd be a factor, and he was not. And now I've got my reasons here, or at least I'm going to do a little bit of speculation. I think that was on purpose. I think Spoelstra is kind of holding off on using Okpala because I think he wants to bring him in at some point when the games actually matter, because while the scrimmages aren't being taken seriously, it's not like people are using them, or maybe in the bubble they might be using film and video of what happens during the scrimmage to kind of get a sense of where each team is once they start facing each other during regular season or the last eight seeding games, as they're being called. But I think Oak Pollock was being held out from those, from the scrimmage, because Spoelstra wants to utilize him at a later time. I don't know. I kind of get that sense. Look, I'm not as high as Oak Pollock as everybody else. I think a lot of, if I'm reading Heat Twitter correctly, they kind of see like this great long player that can play defense at a high level, that can get a shot off, that can do a lot. He's going to be a very a forceful long wing type player, a better Derrick Jones Jr. But I don't see it. I don't necessarily know what to expect from Okpala. I don't have any kind of high expectations. Some people have been very, very high on him, and they think he has first-round talent. I know that was the guess on him coming out of college. He did slip into the second round, which is where Miami was able to draft him. But overall, I'm not sure, based on what Spoelstra's comments are, that they want to put that kind of pressure on him. He hasn't gotten to the point, as Spoelstra has mentioned on several Zoom calls, that he didn't want to evaluate Okpala just yet, that he was just trying to get a feel for him. Of course, Okpala didn't really play with the Heat much during the regular season prior to the hiatus. He was spending his time in Sioux Falls as a member of the G League affiliate for the team. But now Spoelstra gets to see him all the time, gets to see what his work ethic is like. And it's going to be a learning curve. It's going to be a difficult and steep one for Okpala. But if he is able to make an impression on Spoelstra, and again, I don't have any kind of source information as to whether or not Spoelstra rates him highly. I don't think he's made any kind of indication publicly or otherwise regarding Okpala's talent and ability to contribute. But if Okpala is ready to play, and a lot of people seem to think that he is, I wonder whether or not he's being held out so he could be kind of a secret weapon. Maybe that's just a far-reaching guess, and maybe I'm kind of clutching at straws here. But that's the feeling I get if everybody seems to be reading these tea leaves a little bit more accurately than I am. I've been wrong in the past. I'll be happy to admit it. Well, maybe not happy, but I'll admit it. And with Okpala, while I'm not confident that he's going to be the great NBA player a lot of people believe, maybe Spoelstra does see something in him. And if he wants to utilize him as a key utility weapon later on, well, why not? Why not save him and kind of just unleash him on some teams when they have no film on him, when they don't know what to expect? If they look at this roster, they're probably looking in and saying, yeah, who the hell is this Okpala kid? We really don't know anything about him. There's no real video on him contributing at the with the Heat, and so maybe they don't expect much, and he can go in there and have a positive impact. So if that's the case, maybe he'll be a secret weapon for Miami somewhere down the line. Who knows? It's been a weird day. Kind of have to get back into it myself. I'm very, very rusty providing recaps after scrimmages or games, and now we're getting back into it. Miami has an upcoming scrimmage on Saturday. That should be interesting, and I'm looking forward to talking about that, and hopefully I'll be able to rewatch this scrimmage a little bit more and kind of get some details from there that maybe I hadn't seen the first time I watched it. I was trying to make points and tweet about the scrimmage as it was happening. I don't know. Maybe I missed something there that hopefully I can talk about in a later episode. But thank you, as always, for tuning in. Thank you for listening to the show. I'll continue to cover the upcoming scrimmages later on this week. I'll have another show for you. And be sure to subscribe and follow this podcast right now on your favorite app so you'll get the latest episode of Locked on Heat as soon as it's out. I'm David Ramil signing off, and thank you, as always, for your support.